B-Pod Studios.
All right, Boston Sixers tonight. And on courtside with the microphone, she's got a tough job. And she does it tremendously well. And her name is Serena Winters, the side court, shall we say, reporter for Sixer Broadcast on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Serena, how you doing today?
Well, with that introduction, Mike, I am doing even better than I was before I hopped on with you.
You are? What happened? Did something happen today that made you feel better?
Oh, no. I was feeling good, but then I got that introduction.
Oh, introduction. Oh, well, yeah. Listen. Serena, you deserve it. I love the way you do your job down there. And so now the stakes have been turned up, right? When the Sixers did what they did, what does this do for you as a reporter?
I mean, for me, it's just even more exciting. I mean, I'm so lucky I love my job no matter what. But for me as a reporter, it just kind of brings a new heightened sensitivity to everything, keying in on the guys that we just got to see for the first time, right? Where when you watch a game, a lot of the times you get stuck kind of watching the game as a whole as you can, but instead you find yourself keying in on Tobias Harris, keying in on nonverbal communication, keying in on Boban, Mike Scott, and trying to figure out what these new guys are to this team. That's kind of the only way it really changes.
You got your pick now, though. And it's interesting because the first night Tobias Harris plays, I'm guessing that like that was the guy you wanted to target and you were hoping he had a decent game so you could talk about it, right?
That's a very good guess there, Mike. Absolutely.
And he's good. He's really good. What's really funny is that, like, I don't know what goes through your head, but some guys are better than others. Like, I'm thinking it's kind of painful to talk to Ben. Even though he's a nice enough fella, but you almost have to pull answers out of him, right?
Let me just say this, that talking to Tobias is so easy. He's so easy to be around, mm-hmm. and it's somebody where you can almost even forget, like, that they are a professional basketball player. And I'll tell you what, as soon as I heard about this trade, because I am from the California area, because I was in that market for so long, immediately I go, let me call up every single person I can, Mike, to get to know these guys. Mm-hmm. Because as much as we're here in Philly and can talk about these guys, the people that have covered them for the past year or so, the people that have covered them can kind of tell me what the real inside is, right? Whether or not they really are good guys or whether or not it's just a facade. And I have never heard so many good things said specifically about Tobias and Boban. And there was good things about Mike Scott too, but I'm just talking about from a person to talk to, genuine perspective, how much we would love these guys. And so far, it's been nothing but true.
Yeah, it's really going to be fun for you because, so the different guy could be a star every night and you got a lot more people to talk about.
Right, it's like, who's my post-game interview going to be? And that's what I want. I want it to be somebody different every night, you know?
Yeah, no question. That's pretty cool. So tell the people how your broadcast works, because you pop in every now and then. Is it you telling the director that you have something, or is it they want to go to you? How's that work?
Yeah, so we have a production meeting every day, Mike, and before the production meeting I always send an email with way too many things over to the producer, JR, our entire staff.
The man, JR Aquila.
Oh, he is the best. We have the best staff at NBC, I have to tell you that. And I've got just a running list of as much information as I possibly can. And as I'm listening to the broadcast and I think something might fit, I pop in over to JR and say, hey, JR, I got something. I pitch it to them real quick and they decide whether or not they can bring me in. And that's kind of I'm constantly talking to our producer who is incredible. And I just have to tell you, we have such a great staff. But that's kind of the behind the scenes of it. You listen to the story that's being told by the game and you see how you can enhance it and try to pop in when you can.
We're talking to Serena Williams, who is on the sidelines during the Sixer broadcast. Serena, I know you talked to Brett Brown a lot, and a lot of people are saying the pressure is on him now to deliver. Do you see that in him now, that he understands that?
Look, I think that pressure has been on all season, to be honest. And I know that he has said, too, that it's kind of been three different teams for him, but I felt like even after the Jimmy Butler trade, he kind of felt that pressure. And what I'm a little bit actually surprised by, although I guess it makes sense because things have been so smooth since the trade, is he's actually seems calmer than he was before the trade. And like I said, we always know there's the honeymoon period, right? And there's been a couple of really good games after this trade. But as much as you can feel that the expectations are very high, I don't know if it's just because he sees how good this starting unit is, so he's just happy and calm with it. But as high as the expectations are, he seems a little bit calmer, a little bit looser these days.
All right, now what kind of a vibe do you get from the team? Here, let me give you a precursor to the general answer. I'm looking at Jimmy Butler recently before the trades were made, and he seemed to be disengaged in a couple of games. And I'm like trying to get in his head and say he's thinking, this team's not good enough to win. Now the trade happens. The last two nights,
let me stop you right there. Yeah. You tried to get in Jimmy Butler's head.
I try to get in his head for reasons on why he seemed disengaged in a couple of games, and I'm thinking that he's a guy who knows the game so well that he's thinking, okay, we can't actually win a championship with this team, but now we can, and I think I've seen him engaged. Now, am I reading too much into that?
Are you reading too much into it? Well, I have to say that if you're trying to read into Jimmy's body language every day, that is just going to drive you crazy. That is something that I have learned, because he is a very, very expressive individual. But look, when you've got a team where you're out there in a starting five that really, what is Tobias Harris, your fourth or fifth option, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty big. And I think that there is definitely a sense, and this is the number one thing, Mike, that you need at the championship team, to me, is that there has to be a sense that there is something bigger than yourself. You're always dealing with egos in the NBA. It is one of the things that does make this business so great. But you have to sacrifice. You cannot win without sacrificing. And I think what happens, especially when you don't have the talent, or you can't go deep in the bench, and then guys start trying to do ISO one-on-one and trying to get your own, that's when you start to see the team diminish a little bit. And I think that there's a feeling right now that this is as good as this team has been. And man, I mean, I can't even tell you how long. And there's a sense that there's something bigger here than yourself, and you got to sacrifice a little bit for the greater good. And I think we're starting to feel that.
All right. Now, Ben Simmons shot three shots that I didn't expect him to take against the Lakers. Two step backs, and then he throws a three up. Now, did you hear anything about why he would do that? Was it because LeBron was playing him in Tully Town? And that's how backed off he was, and he decided that was disrespectful. And you think that could be a trigger to future jump shots by Ben Simmons?
Well, I think that future jump shots are in order. And I know that Brett Brown and Ben Simmons did have a conversation within 24 hours of that game, talking about what they need from him in the last third of the season. For those that don't know out there, Brett likes to break up the season into thirds, and the next third, the last third, will be after the All-Star break. And that was a conversation about how can we better help you be better for the postseason and this last third of the season. And as we all know watching, obviously shooting, specifically jump shots, expanding his range, we all know what happens when defenses sag off him. That is 100% something that needs to happen. And I think that conversation was had, and hey, the opportunity arose. I think everybody was a little surprised by it, but it was a good shot. And as I think Joel Embiid said after the game, he thought it was going to go in there. And so I hope that we see more of it. I don't think that doesn't mean let's expect a three-pointer from him every night, but if we can continually see him just adding that jump shot, and I think that we will, because they have had conversations about it. We all know that's big for this team.
Yeah, I'd like to see him shoot five step backs a game. I don't know if I'm going to see that. All right, last question. Last question. I'll put you on the spot. Top three guys that you look forward to talking to after a game.
Top three guys. Okay, well, I have to go right now with, if I get to talk to Toby and Bobby together in one, that to me is just the highlight, because I chatted with them at their press conference off camera, and those two guys are absolutely hysterical as they feed off each other. So I might have to say them too.
Okay. Okay.
Then I'm going to have to go, after specifically a post-game interview.
Yeah.
probably Joel, because you don't know what you're going to get.
I was thinking you would go Joel.
He has cursed with me on live TV, and then there are times where he is so tired and benched and just hunched over that he walks off. So you don't know what you're going to get. And then I might have to say Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
Because the times that I've talked to him, you have to keep in mind, have been after game-winning shots. And that guy, after a game-winning shot, there's an energy about him that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds good. Serena, have a great game tonight. We'll all be watching. We love the Sixers tonight to cover. How's that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Double-digit win tonight, Serena.
Yeah, no Kyrie Irving tonight, which is very good. No Aaron Baines. And I don't know what's going on with Boston right now, guys, but it kind of seems like it's a little bit of a mess. Yeah. Over there, which I'm sure Sixers fans might be a little happy about. At the same time, you kind of want to go up against the Celtics at full strength, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I was saying that a little earlier, but we'll take a beating over them now anyway. We'll take it. All right, Serena, we'll talk to you.
Sounds good, Mike.
Thanks. There is the Serena Winters from NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.